what does that actually mean? Now, as we do so, if you can go to my slides, if you could, Nancy. Jesus is what we're here for, right? I mean, Jesus is what this is all about. We've said that many times before, but Jesus is why we're here, and we have to truly believe that the kingdom of God is near. And we're going to talk today about what that means. But what we can't forget as we go into the service today is that today is All Saints' Day. Today is All Saints' Day. Now, All Saints' Day was originally a commemoration of the martyrs of the ancient church, the men and women and children who were persecuted and killed for their faith in Jesus Christ. That's what it originally was. But it's since become a day that we truly celebrate those church members and all the Christians who are faithful, both known and unknown. But especially here in the church, we talk about those who have died this last year and are now in heaven with their Lord and Savior. See, God declares all of us who have been baptized and believes the promises of the gospel to be saints, that we are truly justified, holy, and blameless. That the communion of saints, therefore, includes both those still living, all of us who are believers, but also those who have died in the faith and now live in heaven. See, as Lutherans, we don't pray to saints in heaven. We don't invoke help like the Roman Catholic Church does or the Eastern Orthodox Church do. However, we do honor those saints who have gone before us. Philip Melanchthon, who was Martin Luther's most important colleague during the time, he wrote three ways that Christians should honor saints, those who have gone before us. The first is this, thanksgiving. That we should give thanks because we ought to give thanks to God because of the example of mercy that has been shown to these individuals. And because he has given us their gifts to use in the church for so many years before they went to be with him. The second service is this, is that it should strengthen our faith. That we see the denial of Peter as well, as he denied Jesus, but yet we know he was called to heaven to be there with Jesus as a saint as well. And therefore, that great grace that is given to us is also something we can be trusting in today, so it strengthens our faith. And third, we honor the imitation. First, the faith that they had, but then the virtues and the life that they lived as they lived with us. So today, as we celebrate All Saints Day, we remember our saints that went to be with the Lord this year. Doris and Ursi and Rosemary. Now, as I remember those individuals, and many of you knew them much more than I did, but in the short time I knew them, they were people of strong faith. They were people who were interested in reaching out to people who didn't know Jesus. They were interested in making sure that they tried to live the whole commission of Jesus to go and make disciples of all nations as much as possible. And Rosemary all the way to her end. And Ursi as well. And Doris, the faith that they had and showed was strong. And so today, we praise God for what he has done for them, that they are now by his side, sitting there in perfect joy, peace, and happiness. And because of Jesus, they have been ushered and forgiven for all everything. Isn't that great to know? You see, today we are talking about everyday missionaries, and I can't think of better models than us to model our lives after those three. As we think about it, they truly live this commission from Matthew 28 to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And Jesus says, "Behold, I will be with you always to the end of the age." So we know today that Jesus will be with us till the end of the age. And when it is our time to be called home, he will take us to be with him. We have nothing to worry about and nothing to fear. And I believe that is so important of a message for us to know as we walk our way through this book, to know that we have nothing to fear and that Jesus is with us no matter what. And that one day He will call us home to live a life of perfect joy, peace, and happiness with Him. Can anybody say amen for that? I mean, that'll be great, won't it? And I can't even imagine what that's going to be like. I can't even imagine what that'll be like to get to heaven and see people that I never expected to be there. Right? People that I didn't realize I touched, right? People that are forgiven that I went, boy, I'm surprised. And you know what? There'll be people that'll be there that'll look at me and say, I can't believe you made it either. People I knew in high school, people I knew in my early life when I didn't believe, they'll be sitting there going, geez, Rob, you made it. I can't believe it. But see, that's the amazing thing about Jesus, is it's all because of Him that we're able to say we know we will be there. And so because of that, we are motivated to live a life as His missionary, joining Him on His mission, not my mission. Remember this, the mission is what? It's the mission of God. That's the Missio Dei. And what is that mission? It's that all may be saved and come to the knowledge of Him, that we make everyone a disciple of Jesus. And who is on that mission? Well, Jesus is. And whose mission is it? It's His. And it's His mission to redeem this world. And He's calling you and me to join Him on that mission. It's not our mission, it's His mission. Remember that. And God is up to something, I can tell you. Throughout this community, I can see it happening. Throughout this church, I feel that God is up to something, and we have to just keep looking for what it is. And remember, the story that we heard was that the river has moved, right? That we can't continue to be the church that we've always been because the river itself has moved. So we have to be a church that is different, because if we just stay doing the same thing we'll always do, well, we'll miss the river, and we'll be sitting there isolated with no impact at all. So today, we talk about what does it mean to be a neighborhood missionary? Well, really, it's a Jesus follower living in the mission field of the U.S., and that makes me a missionary. That makes you a missionary. We've said before that the U.S. is one of the largest mission fields in the world today. And I believe this community is one of the largest mission fields in the U.S., with 72% of the people claiming no religious affiliation. And today we are called to be a missionary, each one of us. Here's a truism that was pointed out in our book that we're reading. It says, it's not what you know that will change the world, but what you do with what you know that will change the world. Again, it's not what you know that will change the world, but what you do with what you know that will change the world. See, this is about action. It's not just about knowledge. And up to this point, we've sort of shared knowledge, and I've shared with you all kinds of information, trying to get you to understand where we're at and where the church is at, motivating you to see why we need to actually do things differently and what we need to be doing. And today, I'm going to actually take some time to actually give you some nuts and bolts. Does that sound good? Even if you say no, I'm going to share it with you anyways. Okay, I'm going to share with you some nuts and bolts on what we actually are called to do. And this is actually from the book by Greg Finke, you know, Becoming an Everyday Missionary, right? Joining Jesus on His mission. And what we're going to talk about are five missional practices. The first is seeking the kingdom. The next is hearing from Jesus. Then talking with people, doing good, and ministering through prayer. Now, as we say this and as we read these, we sit here and say, boy, this sounds pretty simple, right? It is simple, but it's hard. It's a simple thing, but it's hard. And what we'll first start with is seeking the kingdom. See, the kingdom of God is the redemptive presence and activity of God on the move in the world all around us. I'll say that once again. The kingdom of God is the redemptive presence and activity of God on the move in the world around us. God asks you and I as missionaries in this world to go and seek and find it. Where is that happening? And what we're looking for is for God to show us places where a little grace can be applied, where a little love and truth might make a difference. It often looks as simple as human need in the world. Jeremiah 29, 13 and 14 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart, and I will be found by you, declares the Lord." See, if we go and we search for it, we look for it, and we search for where a little bit of grace, a little bit of love, a little bit of truth might make a difference, there we'll find the kingdom of God, God's redemptive presence and activity of God. See, John 13, 35 says, "By this you will know that you are my disciples, if you," what? "Love one another." See, what we're talking about is looking for places in this world where just a little bit of love and grace applied might make a difference. Whether it's a spiritual need or a relational need or an emotional need, it really doesn't matter. It could be a physical need as well. I think about these places in Scripture where we see Jesus doing exactly that. In John chapter 4, where we see the woman at the well who was entangled in a toxic relationships, right? And what does Jesus do? He goes to her and loves her, but also shares some words with her. In Mark chapter 18, the disciple, they're arguing over who is the greatest, right? And what does Jesus do? He shares a little bit of grace with them at that point. Mark chapter 5, with a woman who's suffering from both a blood issue and a rejection from the community, but yet Jesus does what? He heals her and gives her a little bit of love and grace. And then John chapter 8, the woman caught in adultery. As he goes and he shares with the whole community there and challenges them with some truth, but also protects her. See, human need is where the redemption is still needed, where God is still needed to work. And you and I are called just to open our eyes and have the eyes of Jesus to look around us and see truly where is God showing us that a little grace applied might make a difference. And I see it throughout this whole community. And I hope you do as well. The next is hearing from Jesus. And this is one that many of us struggle with, and I do from time to time as well. And this is purely just opening our Bible and listening to Jesus on what he tells us in his Gospels. Allow Jesus to continue to disciple us and guide us in the mission that he's given us by simply opening his word of the Gospels and joining the crowd that is following Jesus. Take the posture of one who is following him. Listen to what he's actually said. Watch what he actually does. And ask yourself, what if Jesus means all of this? I mean, what does he want and how does he want me to respond as I read these Gospels? It usually begins with you and I humbling ourselves and truly understanding that Jesus is speaking to us and calling us to action as he models the faith for us. The next is actually talking with people. And how many of us in here love talking with people? Almost everybody, raise your hand, right? Okay, come on. There might be a few of you that don't, right? Okay, but most people love talking with people. And God can do more with two people talking with each other than he can with two people ignoring each other. I've told you the story before of me sitting in the food court at a mall and seeing some teenagers, all four of them sitting around the table, all of them texting. Nobody paying attention to one another. Probably even texting each other, right? It happens. And texting can be great, guys. Technology can be great. And by the way, I encourage you, if you haven't been out to any of our social media spots, go out and join us on those social medias because we need to make a presence there more and more. Sophia is helping us do that as well as Michelle. And there's a sign right outside as you leave today. You can see where you need to go. But please go out and join us on our social media. We need that. But that doesn't take the place of face-to-face talking relationships, right? I mean, we get to know people. We spend time listening to their stories. We can do this with random strangers as well. My kids hate it when I do this. But I do. You ask them where they work or where they live or where they play or where they're from, and you start just trying to hear their stories. And this is a practice for all of us, whether we're introverts or extroverts, it doesn't matter. We're honoring, though, the relationship pace that God gives us and who he has made us to be and how he's wired us. So if you're an introvert, it may take you more time. That's okay. If you're an extrovert, you can dive right in and start asking questions right away. But God is calling us to talk with people in this community. Talk with people that you see all around us. Get to know their stories. Ask them their name. Ask them where they're from. Listen and be ready for what God is telling you through their stories. See, that's the thing we don't do so much in this world today. We don't tend to just start talking with people to get to know them. But as we live this life of joining Jesus in his mission, he's calling us to just simply talk with people. And the next thing he says is we need to do good. Now, this isn't so that we earn salvation. You got that right? Okay, but this is what he calls us to do once we know we're secure. Just like we talked about All Saints Day, that we know we're secure in the faith. He calls us just to go out and do good. That you and I are really Jesuses with skin on. You ever think of yourself that way? You're Jesus with skin on. You're the sacramental presence of Jesus in this world. As I've told you before, we are little Christ living in this world. We are his representatives in this world. And you are little Christ with skin on. Think of yourself that way. It changes how you live. It changes how you talk. It changes what you do. And when we find someone who is ready, we step in and help. I mean, what good can we do to show people the intangible love of Jesus? What is it that we can do to give them the goodness that we know to the people that are around us so that they can see Jesus through each of us? Remember, Jesus says he works best through small things that we do. Think of it as just a seed or a pinch of yeast or maybe just a cup of water. This is what we mean by living the love of Jesus, which is our mission statement here. It's going out and just doing good to someone, giving them just a little something that shows Jesus and shows them that we love them. See, I believe our goal in this community needs to be that this community is so dependent on the love that we show that they can't do without us. What would that do if that was our goal here at Our Savior's? That our goal was to get to the point where there's so much love that we are sharing with this whole community that they are so dependent on that they couldn't live without us. See, I think that's a tremendous goal for us to strive for. So that people truly know who we are at Our Savior's, that we are the ones who live the love of Jesus and we show it each and every day. And as we do this, the next one is ministering through prayer. That when trust has built up over time, that we start sharing people's lives, they start sharing it with us, that we are called then just to offer a little bit of grace by saying something like, would you like me to pray with you about that? And start just a simple relationship with Jesus. See, as you look at these five practices, they're not that difficult, right? But is it hard? It is. It's hard. But it's something each one of us can do. And if we put them in play every day of our lives by simply walking up to strangers and talking with them, praying with them when their opportunity arises. Simple things. It's amazing what happens. See, it begins with getting to know and starting to enjoy our neighbors. That's the easiest place to do it. But I find it hard here. You know why? Because we all drive into our garages and the door closes, then we all have fences around us. It's very hard. But we can ask three questions that are the missionary questions. One, who are these people? Two, what is Jesus already up to in their lives, and how can I join them? An example of this is our neighbor. We noticed that there was all kinds of cars parked at our neighbor's house that we didn't know what was going on. It was sort of unusual. So I just said to Cheryl, I'm going to go over and knock on their door and see what's going on, okay? I did. Because I felt like there was something happening there, right? God was leading me to say, there's something going on. And I knocked on her door, and she goes, oh, hi, Rob, how are you doing? I go, good. I go, you know, is everything okay? She goes, well, you didn't know, but, you know, so-and-so fell. And he hit his head, and he was in the hospital for about 2 weeks, and now his memory seems to be gone, and he's really sort of not doing well. I have to care for him 24 hours, and we're trying to get somebody in the house to help with that, and I don't know, you know, it's really hard. So I said to her, here's my card. If I can do anything for you, let me know. And can I pray for you? That's what we're talking about, right? Not that I do it well. It just so happens God was leading me to do that because I felt there was something wrong there, something that needed to be addressed. And sure enough, she needed someone to share that with. And I know it's going to lead to more and more and more as we go. See, those are the kind of things we need to do. Just step out in faith and get to know our neighbors. See, the neighboring formula is this: unhurried time plus proximity plus some kind of activity, which if it includes food, that's usually good, okay? Then it creates what? Conversation. And over time, what does it create? Friendship. You see, that really is the formula for our faith and fellowship groups as well, right? Unhurried time as we gather together, proximity as we get together. We've asked everybody to do some kind of snack or something, right? And what happens? You have conversation. And over that conversation, what happens over time? You become friends. Now we just have to transport that and use that with people in our communities, with people all around us. Find a way to have unhurried time where we can be near people and to actually go and create an activity where we can do that. One thing I've heard people do, and Greg Finke is really good about this, is he's created these things where in his driveway, he just says, why don't we gather as neighbors and just everybody bring coffee or whatever you want, and let's put a little fire pit there, and let's all of us just sit around the fire and talk. And he said that so many people, you'd be surprised how many people will come out and join you for that. And suddenly you start hearing and you start seeing what people do. One time in Wisconsin, we actually had a huge barbecue with all of our neighborhood. At our friend's house next door that we got to know, we just said, hey guys, nobody knows each other very well, so why don't we just invite all the neighbors to come over, we'll cook some pulled pork, and then everybody can bring something, and we'll just gather in this neighbor's backyard and see how many people showed up. We invited people, and guess how many people showed up? It was around 70 people. And one lady was sitting there saying, I've been in this neighborhood for 50 years, and I've never met some of these people. And we moved away, unfortunately, came here, good, right? But then they actually, when we went back this summer, they said, we're continuing that. We're having it again so that people can get together once again. See, these are the things we're talking about living as a missionary, an everyday missionary, and joining Jesus. Simple things that we can do. It doesn't take much. I know my associate pastor from the church I was at in Wisconsin, at Christmas, he wanted to get to know his neighbors a little bit more. So his wife loved to make almond butter. She made it from scratch, which I don't know why anybody would do that, because it's not very good anyways. And that's my opinion. So anyways, she made it from scratch and put it in little jars and put a little nice note on it saying, Merry Christmas from the Keens. And they went around from door to door, knocked on the doors and left it with people and said, look, we just wanted to say Merry Christmas and say thank you for being our neighbors, and did that. And since then, guess what's happened? They've gotten to know many neighbors that they never got to know. See, these are little things that we can do just to go out and share the love of Jesus and to be a missionary in the community. We sometimes make it think and we make it feel like it means that it's so hard to do, but you know what? Most of you are better at hospitality than I am. Most of you know how to connect with people and love to do things for other people. Christmas cookies are a perfect way to do this. And it's a simple thing to do. One thing you can do, as he suggests, is map out your neighborhood and decide who are the ones that you know and who are the ones that you don't know. And who are the ones that you strategically need to try to make a connection with and be really intentional about it? We were doing this at one point in Wisconsin, and we actually talked about the three types of relationships that we had with people. We had social relationships with people. We had some caring and sharing relationships with people, but then we also had faith relationships with other people. And the goal is get to the point where you have faith relationships with people, so you can talk about faith and religion and Jesus. But it takes time. Sometimes you just have to have a social relationship first. Then you have to care for one another. And then hopefully over time you can get to the point where you can share Jesus. But mapping out your neighborhood and saying, okay, how many people do we truly know that is right around us? Because I believe that God has placed you right where you are for a reason. It is not by happenstance. It is not by coincidence that you live where you live. You live where you live because God wants you to reach out to those individuals right around you. And as I've said, it's not hard. It's simple, but it's very hard. I'll rephrase that. It's simple, but it's very hard. And why is it so hard for us? You tell me. What? Out of our comfort zone. Busyness. All of those things, right? But if you really think about it, all we're called to do is to build relationships. And that's not that far out of most people's comfort zone. How many of us would love to have more friends, more acquaintances, more people that we know? And not just so they can come here, right? Because you know what? Some of these relationships we build may never come here. Some of these relationships we build, even if they get to know Jesus, they may go to another church. But this is about the kingdom of God, not about our saviors. And over time, though, hopefully people will come to know who we are here and be attracted because of us living Jesus each and every day. If you remember our five-year plan, there's a page in here that sort of highlights exactly what we're talking about. And it says, living the love of Jesus, the people of our Savior's Palm Springs will impact the world around us by modeling these extraordinary behaviors. One, we spend time listening to God through worship, prayer, solitude, and reflection, and respond to what we hear. That's seeking the kingdom, right? Next, we know the stories of others well and are able to connect them to God's story. To do that, what do you need to do? Talk to people, right? The whole idea that we showed up there of having unhurried time and proximity and having time to share and talk with people. Next, we love others and the messes of everyday life. We have to get to know people to the point where they share with us their messes. And we love them and pray with them in that. And then finally, we invite others to live the love of Jesus by intentionally investing in relationships and discipling others. You see, that is truly what we're about. As we live the love of Jesus. And I know today has been really heavy on what we are called to do. But if we don't actually learn the nuts and bolts of this, then it never actually comes to happen, right? So today was about nuts and bolts. But it's also about Jesus. Because Jesus is the one who calls us to join him. Jesus is the one who calls each of us a disciple. And Jesus is the one who is asking you to join him in what he is already doing. And I don't know about you, but I can't think of a better work and a better thing to be involved in than that, right? So today, on All Saints Day, may you be confident who God says you are. A child of God. A saint, by the way. One who is holy and perfect because of Jesus and what he has done for us on the cross. Knowing that your future is secure, may you then live a life of a missionary each and every day. Simply following these five principles of building relationships with the people that God has placed around you. It is in Jesus' name and to his glory we pray. Amen. Well, as we continue today, we continue by our time of communion.